I want to, if I have a thought that I want you to remember this morning, it would be this: dost thou well to be angry? Dost thou well to be angry? And I want to start out by going back over in the Old Testament and point out that a number of times as the children of Israel were making their journey from bondage in Egypt to the promised land that the Lord had promised them, that as they were making that journey, that they faced many obstacles and there were many problems as they made the journey. And as they ran into those obstacles, they became angry with the Lord. There are times in our lives whenever that there is no question that we probably get angry with the Lord. Now, the problem with that is that the Lord does not change. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The problem is that we change, and it isn't Him that's at fault. It's us that are at fault. But we don't like to admit to that. It's difficult for us sometimes to admit that probably some of the things that happen to us are our own making, our own doing. And even though the children of Israel, in fact, this was not their doing. These were things that were placed in their way to make them more dependent upon the Lord. And sometimes I think God allows things to happen in our lives that as they do, and we do get upset about them. You're only kidding yourself, or you don't have much feeling at all. If there aren't times whenever that you get a little upset, maybe with the Lord. I've certainly been angry with Him, but I know that it was not His fault, it was mine. But the children of Israel, as they were journeying, they'd say, oh, you know, we'd been better off if we'd have just stayed down there and we'd serve the Egyptians. You know, here we are, we're out here, and we can't get what we want, so we'd have been better off if we'd have stayed back down there. Now, let me tell you something this morning. You're living the best day of your life that you've ever lived. And I know some of you say, well, if I could just go back. Well, you can't go back, and you certainly can't get into tomorrow yet, so you better take advantage of what you've got right now today and live it the best you can. Enjoy it. And I believe that God wants every one of us as His children to enjoy living, and we enjoy it today. Anyway, they would murmur and complain and cry out, and if it wasn't that the Lord had done something, then the Lord had sent them the wrong man to lead them up out of the land of Egypt, and all that Moses was doing was creating more problems for them, and they just say, you know, everything could have been better. They didn't want to find fault with themselves. Jonah, another good example, got mad at the Lord. You know, the Lord had blessed him. Jonah had first been rebellious, and of course then the Lord had allowed him the second opportunity, second chance, so to speak, to be able to go into the city of Nineveh and preach unto those people, and his preaching was effective. It the people listened to what he had to say, and you would think that would have been pleasing to him, and he would have been excited about the fact that when he went in there and he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown, and the people heard what he had to say and they repented and God spared that city. But you think Jonah was happy about it? No, he was mad. He was upset. And the Lord asked him, he said, are you doing well to be angry? Why are you so angry? Why are you so upset? Jonah said, you know, this is exactly how I knew was going to happen. Ever see that in your life? Ever have that say, I knew this is what was going to happen before it ever happened. There are times in our lives whenever that we know what was going to happen before it happens. Sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. But many of the times we know what's going to happen because we are the culprits who've been guilty of bringing about the situation. In Jonah's case, you know, he was upset because he didn't want to go to those people in the first place. Now, God doesn't always just allow you to do everything you want to do. God doesn't just always say, I'll get somebody else to do part of my work. Sometimes He's going to say, I want you to do some of the work. You as one of my children. God didn't just save us to escape hell. Now, some people have got that idea that the only reason God saves them is justice, so they don't have to go to hell. Well, that's one of the reasons that he saves us. But another reason that he saves us is that we might glorify him, that we might magnify him, that we might tell other people about him, that we might live lives that would be indicative of the fact that we want them to have the Lord in their lives just as we do. And so sometimes we need to act like that we're happy that the Lord has made us one of his children. Jonah said, I knew this is what was going to happen before I ever went down there. I knew this. There wasn't any reason for me to go. Well, you know how that the Lord then pointed out to him, you know, the Lord gave him, gave him the vine, and then he gave him the worm, and he gave him the whirlwind, and everything, gave him all these things. But he said, you know, you've been so excited and so protective of that little vine that the worm came along and destroyed. But I've spared these people. Now, I want to get to my message this morning. There's a fella in the New Testament who you would think, of all people, would be happy about what had just preceded the incident that I want to talk about this morning. But he wasn't happy. He was mad. He was upset. He was just livid over what took place. And to help you understand where this comes from, there are two sons. And the younger of the two sons comes to his father one day and says, give me that portion which is rightfully mine. I want you to, here we go. We're going prodigal son. Okay. There are some things that you need to be sure that you remember about the prodigal son. Most of you remember how that he went out and he spent all that he had, wasted it in riotous living. Know how that when he finally was down there in the hog pen, he came to himself and realized that he began to think about home. And he said, how many servants in my father's house have enough and to spare? And I perish down here with hunger. I'll do something about it. I'll get up and I'll go back to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. But there's some other things that you need to be sure you understand, because they come into play when we get to this portion of the Word of the Lord. You see, the prodigal son is preached on a lot. Most every preacher that's ever worked a revival meeting somewhere along the line is going to preach the prodigal son. It's a good portion of the Word of the Lord, and it's good for lost people to be able to understand, and they can understand that. But rarely do I ever hear a preacher get up and talk about the other son, the one who didn't go down and waste his substance in riotous living. I want to talk about him just a little bit this morning. But important to remember that the younger son came to the father and said, you give me that which is rightfully mine. And the father divided him and gave to him what was rightfully his. And as I've said, he went out and he wasted it. It doesn't specifically say what all he did, excepting that he wasted it in riotous living. And that's important to remember, because we're going to find out as we go to this morning's lesson that the older son, he thinks he knows what his little brother did. How many times do we think we know what somebody did and we don't have a clue about what we're talking about? We just concoct up these things in our own mind, and I'll guarantee you they're not usually good. We think the worst, not the best. Anyway, the Bible says that after that the young son came back home, his father went out here to meet him, threw his arms around him and welcomed him back home, and said to his servants, he said, you bring forth a robe and put it on him. Put a ring upon his hand and go kill the fatted calf and let us rejoice and let us be merry, for this my son was lost and is found. And the Bible says, they began to be merry. Now listen. I'm reading out of the 15th chapter of the book of Luke, starting in with the 25th verse. Now his elder son, this is speaking of the father's elder son, was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. This is the older son. This is a son who stayed at home. This is a son who's been working all the time. His younger brother has been out there carousing and wasting his living and riotous, or his substance in riotous living, who has not lived a very good life. He's lived a full life. But his money's run out, his friends have run out, and he had nothing left, excepting a love of a father who still cared about him and was there whenever that he came back home and treated him not as a servant, but as his son. The elder son comes up and he hears all of this merriment that's going on, and he hears the sound of music, and the Bible says, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Now let me tell you something. Sometimes, instead of depending on what somebody else knows about the work of the Lord, you need to get involved in it yourself. Don't always be asking somebody else what's going on. Get involved in it yourself so that you know. The Lord wants every single one of us to be working for Him. I don't find anywhere in the Word of the Lord where that He says, I'll just let you retire as soon as I got you saved. I find in the Word of the Lord where that we ought to work. Somebody says to me, well, are you retired now? And I don't know how to answer that. Yeah, I am retired in one sense, and in another sense, I'm still working. Now, I know most of you don't think this is working to get up here and to preach, that this is just all fun. But let me tell you something. I'll trade with you any day you want to trade. I don't care what your station is right now in life. I'll trade with you. I'll take whatever you're doing, and you take this. Now, don't just get up here and think you're going to do it one time. I want you to be serious about it. Listen, this brother comes up and he hears the music. Instead of doing something himself about it, he calls one of his servants and he says, what's going on in there? What's going on in there? And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry. Your brother's come home. Your brother's come home. Your father has killed a fatted calf and is rejoicing over the fact that he's come home. If you go back up in a previous part of this chapter and you begin to read some of the things that are taught there, the Bible very clearly teaches that there's more rejoicing over one sinner that cometh home to the Lord than 99 that need no repentance. I tell people every once in a while that I believe whenever that God saves the soul of an individual, that there's rejoicing in heaven. And there should be rejoicing here upon the earth. But we have become so caustic and so cynical that too many times, well, I don't know whether they're really saved or not. Well, you don't know whether anybody else is saved or not excepting yourself. We've all got our opinions as to who we think is and who isn't, but we don't know excepting for ourselves. But let me tell you something. We should be able to rejoice with those who are redeemed. We should be able to rejoice with them. This brother sends the servants up there and calls to him and says, what's going on up there at the house? And the servant says, you know what? He said, your brother has come home and they've killed the fatted calf. Your father has. And the Bible says, and he was angry and would not go in. Over the years, I've had the unfortunate experience of having people get mad at church once in a while. Church members. They get mad. And the best thing, the first indicator that you get is they take off. They're gone. Sometimes you have no idea what it's about. You can't even begin to imagine what it might have been, but that's the way they're going to let it be known. I'll just go someplace else. I'll just stay at home. I won't go back. Well, let me tell you what the Word of the Lord says. But those people who do that, they think they're going to go right ahead and everything's going to be all right, because they got too many preachers who will get up this morning and say, oh, you know, whatever you do, God will just forgive you. Don't you worry a thing about it. I find a different God in the Word of the Lord. I find one that says, if thy brother offend thee, you go and be reconciled to him before you come and give your gift to the altar. First, go be reconciled to him. If you remember that, he has it. Then come and offer your gift. God isn't going to bless sin. I tell you that all the time, and some of you don't believe me. That's all right. The Bible says that this brother was angry. He was upset, and he was not going to go in there. And so listen to what the Bible says. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Now, who should have been the likely one? You know, people, sometimes as you read the scripture, we just need to get some common sense in it. Who should have been the one here? This son. All of a sudden, after these periods of time, I started to say years. I don't know whether the younger son was out there for years or whether it was months or days. But the father and the elder son had had a good relationship up until now. There hadn't been any problem between them. But all of a sudden, because the older son is afraid that he's getting cheated out of some of his, he's upset with his father. And instead of going in and rejoicing over the son that's lost, he's mad. He's upset. Sometimes, people, our anger, sometimes our being mad is misdirected. Sometimes it is not justified. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. How many, put your hands up here this morning. How many of you here this morning can get mad and not sin? I don't see a hand. I guarantee you wouldn't see mine up. Because I get mad, I sin. I hope that you're just in agreement with me, Ronnie. Yeah. Probably the rest of them should have hollered amen too, but they didn't, Ronnie. Thank you. Anyway, you know, sometimes it's very difficult for me to separate the sin from the sinner. Yeah. I know that I'm supposed to be able to do that, but I find it impossible, especially if I get angry. If I get mad, I don't even think rational. I used to tell people, when I was negotiating, I loved to get the opposition, get them upset, get them angry. Because I knew right then I had them. You know, get them mad and they can't think straight because they're so mad. I'm the same way. If I get that mad, I hope they don't do that to me. I have to watch very carefully. I don't like to get that mad anymore, but I still do once in a while. And it's not fun. It's not pleasant. And I usually pay a dear price for it. But let me tell you something. This your older son, he's so mad, he's so upset, he's not even going to go into his father's house. He's not going to go in there and see what's going on. So the father comes out to him. Now listen. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Oh, let me tell you what a good person I am and what a good job I've done and how valuable I am to you. Let me tell you something this morning. The Lord can do without me just like that. He doesn't need me. His work will go on whether I'm here or not. He doesn't need any single one of you here this morning. But He has us here. And He uses us, and that's the way His work is to be accomplished, is through us. But when we get to the place to where that we think that He doesn't need us or that we could do it without Him, we're in trouble. And when we start saying, as the publican did whenever he stood, not the publican. Let me get him right here in a minute. The self-righteous man, whenever he stood and he prayed, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I'm not like this poor old sinner over here. You know, whenever we get to that point to where we think that we're better than somebody else, we're headed for a fall. And it'll be tough. Don't you think for a second it won't. This son says, you know what? I was here. I've worked. I've been faithful to you. I've done everything that you wanted me to do. But did you ever come and give me one of the fatted calves that I could go out here and I could have a feast with my friends? What's going on here? My friends? But as soon as this thy son is come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. There's a couple of things you need to understand here. You just read over that. First of all, what did he say? He didn't say, you know, when my brother came home. Oh, no, he didn't say my brother. He said, your son. Yeah, he's not my brother. No, that's your son. Your son that went out here and wasted your substance. No. What did I read to you? What did I tell you earlier that it said? The younger son went to his father and said, you give me that which is rightfully mine. He hadn't wasted the father's substance. He had wasted what the father had given unto him. But this is what the older son is saying. Oh, he wasted all of yours. No, he didn't. The older son knows better than that. He's been there all the time. He sees his father still has enough and to spare. But he's mad. He's not thinking right. This is your son. That's not my brother. This is your son. And look what you've done. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots. Go back and read what it says in the scripture. It does not say anywhere in there that he wasted his substance with harlots. That's what the older son thinks. It may be right. I don't know. It doesn't say that. There are some commentators who take this guy's word and say, well, that's what he done. He wasn't there. He doesn't know whether or not he wasted it. He might have been gambling all the time. He might have been giving all of his money away to other people who were needy or something. It doesn't say, but it does say he wasted his substance in riotous living. So whatever riotous living may be, maybe it is prostitutes. I don't know. That would be, in some people's opinion, would be riotous living. To some others, it may have been gambling, it may have been fighting, it may have been drinking, it may have been all kinds of things. It doesn't say. But his older brother's got it concocted up in his mind that he knows exactly how he wasted it out there. It's interesting to me that he knows how he wasted it, and yet he didn't even bother to go take care of him whenever he was in serious trouble and was about to starve to death. Let me tell you something this morning. When we get angry, we don't think straight sometimes. Now listen, this is what the father said. And he said unto him, son, hey, he's still his son. He's still my son. Son, thou art ever with me. And all that I have is thine. Yeah, all I've got is yours. You're worried here about whether or not that your little brother here went out there and wasted everything. He may have wasted that which was his. Obviously he did. But everything that I have is yours. Let me tell every single one of you something this morning, that if you don't remember another thing I say today, I hope you'll remember this. That God always has enough and to spare. And if you think for one single second that you can deplete all of His blessings to the exclusion of somebody else, you're kidding yourself. God has enough blessings for you, and for you, and for you, and for you, and for me. He always has them. We don't have to act like that, oh my goodness, He's going to run out before He gets to me. Not going to happen. Everything is His. This father says to his son, all that I have is yours. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. Now listen, this is in closing. For this thy brother, let's get her straight. Son, whether you want to acknowledge him as being your brother or not, he is your brother. Whether he pleased you or not, he is your brother. This, your brother, was dead. He was dead. And is alive again, and was lost, and is found. Think about that. This is your brother. I have two brothers. I love them both. I believe they love me. I hope I never get to the point to where that I would feel as this older, because I am the oldest. But I hope that I would never get to the point to where that I'd be that angry with either one of them. Do they please me all? No, they don't please me all the time. Do I please them all the time? No, I never have pleased them all the time. Never will. I had another brother, you know, and probably he and I were more alike than anybody ever thought we were. People used to say to me once in a while, I said, you know, I was shocked whenever I heard you'd been called a priest. I wouldn't have been surprised if Lee had been called a priest. I, good Lord, they don't know Lee. Well, anyway, I loved them. But listen, anger is a terrible thing, people. Dost thou well to be angry? May not be the same situation, but whatever makes you angry, just be careful that it doesn't control you.